난 차원의 내 뭐
This is Daniela from STEM Champ. You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Community Radio during this special programming campaign, All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 4. Now through April, you'll hear different marathons and series, all brought to you by our fantastic programmers, including specials for Black History Month and International Women's Day. If you'd like to check out our specials, go to kboo.fm/AT.
Here goes nothing.
Tune in to KBOO for Drinking from Puddles, hosted by Brandon, every other Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. That's Drinking for Puddles, every other Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Yeah.
Welcome to PDX Progressive Talk Radio, where progressive dialogue meets local action. Every fourth Wednesday of the month, join us for insights and solutions on critical issues impacting Oregon. Let's create change together. We are PDX Progressive Talk Radio.
And good evening, everybody. This is Moses Ross. I am your esteemed host of PDX Progressive Talk Radio here on KBOO.FM. I am so happy to be here on a beginning to be a rainy night in Portland. There's actually tornado warnings, which is crazy. But just, you know, another day in paradise. I'm here with Sherry Morish. Sherry, hi. How are you tonight?
Hey there. How are you doing?
How is my partner in crime?
I'm hanging in there. It's been a long day, and actually, it's super humid. For the rain that's coming down, it's sweaty humid.
You'd think we were in New Orleans or something. It's strange. I'll have to admit, strange weather. And, you know, there's no climate change problems in Oregon. Of course not, you know.
No, almost 80 degrees in March.
That is absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. Well, and that, what a segue into the events of the last week, since the last time I got a chance to sit and talk with you about life in the, gosh, on national level, on a local level, things are starting to pop. The city council is starting to figure out how to work in a committee and be able to push policy through committees up to main votes. There's some contentiousness going on with a rent control type of an ordinance. One of the more progressive councilors has been championing. You know, we can talk about that. There's the craziness going on nationally with the Trump and the Signal app being used to discuss national security.
That was too much.
That one just blows me away. If you're out there listening, you're listening to Moses Ross on PDX Progressive Talk Radio. Keywords, talk radio. I'd love to hear from you, my listeners out there in Portland and abroad, all throughout this beautiful state of Oregon. Our phone number, 503-231-8187. What's on your mind? How are you being affected by the Doge? The Doge, or however the heck they pronounce that, attempts to streamline and improve and make more efficient our government, federal government, on the backs of veterans and Social Security recipients. Lots of crazy, crazy politics going on here. But I'd like to hear what your thoughts are. So once again, call in 503-231-8187. The floor will be yours. Let's hear what you have to say, Portland. You know, Sherry, it does just blow me away, the audaciousness of our Fuhrer in chief right now.
He's ridiculous.
You know,
he's flat ridiculous. He's worse. Well, as they all said, he would be. He is worse in this term because there's no holding him back.
Well, and you know what's ironic is that it's just following they stated all of this beforehand, of course, with the Project 2025. I mean, they're just basically following that playbook. You know, it's not like he didn't tell us what he was going to be pitching.
Exactly.
You know, but it was interesting. I heard an interesting interview today. They finally have been able to start to quantify the data from the polling and from the voter results nationally, state by state. And they basically summarized that Kamala Harris lost because she lost the under 25 youth vote, male vote.
There's other information about that too. If you listen to Craig Pallast at all, he did a lot of research through Trump's first. He was one of the ones promoting the Russian influence in Trump's first election, quote unquote, win. And in this one, he has proof showing that over something like 3 million voters were disenfranchised because they were scrubbed from the rolls.
Right.
They were legally registered to vote. Mm-hmm. They were able to vote, and they got scrubbed off the rolls illegally, basically. And so he's making a case for that.
Well, it's a standard operating procedure of the GOP leadership in states where, you know, they're in control. Yeah. They're able to, you know, manipulate the voter file and, you know, strictly define who votes and how they vote. I mean, that's what it boils down to, you know. There vast segments of the communities in Louisiana and some of those southern states don't get their vote counted, let alone feel like they could make a difference if they could get there to vote.
No, it's voter disenfranchisement.
And suppression.
And suppression.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
You know, thank goodness that we're in a state like Oregon where it is vote by mail. I mean, I'm not going to say it's always 125% perfect, but it's pretty darn close.
What do you think of the people in some here in Oregon who are advocating to shut down our vote by mail and have everybody go to the voting place again? What is your opinion on that?
Oh, that's ludicrous. That's crazy. We've had a taste of the freedom that vote by mail has given us.
Yes, over 20 years.
Yeah, and everybody understands and habits have started to set in. Well, let me give you a great example of it. The vote by mail allows people to be able to actually sit and study and contemplate their vote and be able to vote at their leisure, at, you know, on a Saturday beforehand, whatever. But they feel more participatory by doing that. You know, it's better, they're better educated. They have to better be a better educated voter to be able to sit there and, you know, do it on their own like that.
Exactly.
And so we always worry about how voters may, you know, the uneducated voters. I venture to say that vote by mail has created a better educated voter.
Yes. Well, in many respects, yes.
Yeah, because we have to learn about, we have to take the time to fill out our ballot. And while we're there, we have our voter pamphlet statement, and, you know, and you're trying to go through the different messages that are coming from the pros and the cons each side of the campaign. And but ultimately, you know, you're putting your pen on a piece of paper.
And I would actually advocate for a more in-depth discussion on what the voter pamphlet looks like and what we're supposed to glean from the information provided to us.
You know, that's an interesting discussion. It really is, because, you know, the voter pamphlet statement is submitted by each candidate. It's vetted by the Secretary of State, but it's not necessarily for accuracy, but for format and for... the fundamentals.
Right. You know? I think I would like more information about who the person actually is. Maybe even have, you know how in the last, this last election was the only one that I've actually had this much involvement in.
Uh-huh.
And it was, you have been a super, superb teacher, and Ray Gordon and a lot of the other candidates I worked with helped me understand everything that goes into getting endorsed, writing your statement for the voter pamphlet. And what I would like to see more of is not only the level of endorsement, but have that in the voter pamphlet. Comments should make it to the voter pamphlet, and I think in some cases they do, but I didn't see in many cases I knew people got endorsed, they didn't include them.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's self-generated by the campaign for that candidate, what they create, what is put into the statement, the verbiage.
Okay.
So that was, could have been potentially a mistake on their half to not include it. I mean, let's put it this way. There are professionals that write voter pamphlet statements for candidates. Literally. I mean, it's like writing a little small novella. You know, you have to, it's under 400 words.
Right.
And you're trying to, you know, grandiose yourself as much as possible in that 450 words. And so, you know, there's specialists out there.
ChatGPT would be great for that.
You and your ChatGPT. I love that. That, you know, you're absolutely right. ChatGPT probably would give you some very solid samples.
If it had the history of you, you teach it.
Right.
To do, and it has access to the internet. It can do searches. You teach it to do what you need it to do for you in advocacy for you. It has written up a bunch of stuff for me.
Well, you know, I'll have to admit, you know, there's a slight amount of intimidation when it comes to AI and its potential and its overall use. And I think I speak for many people that have that intimidation. Now, those that have embraced it like yourself, your life is probably so much more simpler in many cases, or much more efficient in many cases.
I don't necessarily at this point. I do use it for content development and my Substack articles and stuff like that. I do use ChatGPT for that, but it's even better at strategy. It's even better at helping you align a pathway from where you are to where you want to be. It's stellar for that. And a lot of it is the access to knowledge and experience that it has. So I have a question for you. Melissa Fireside was essentially pushed down our throats as the Democratic nominee for the Clackamas County Commission, Chair 4, to get a hateful person out of that seat, right? So she has now been indicted on several felonies, including stealing from an elderly gentleman and forgery from a representative of sorts. I'm not exactly sure who, because there are several people involved in this, and I haven't pinpointed exactly who. So what are your thoughts on the vetting process? Is this something that Chris Waller and Craig Roberts and the Clackamas County Democratic office should have known about before putting her in front of us and only allowing us to essentially vote for her?
Well, what we're talking about here is the power of organized parties to be able to dictate, to have influence in a nonpartisan race, right?
If it, that's it, true, it is nonpartisan.
It's a nonpartisan race, but everybody had their sides. In this particular case, you had Mark Scholl, who was an obvious conservative, the darling of the right, but had a big mouth, and he would say things that were amazingly impolitic, you know, just horrible things. And it was a real window into his overall attitude and approach to governance, these things that he would say. So you had, in turn from that, a determined opposition to him to find that candidate that would could replace him. And because of the fact that it was a nonpartisan race, there were multiple choices. There were multiple options out there. There was Melissa Fireside. There was Ray Gordon. There were a couple other people that were in that race as well. Mm-hmm. This is, and what we're talking about, folks, is the Clackamas County Commission race of 2024. And that ended up in 2024. And the outcome of it was that the Melissa Fireside, this woman based in Lake Oswego, who had run for Lake Oswego City Council in the past, she had a history, and won the race, beat Scholl.
Right.
And there wasn't necessarily a primary in that Clackamas in that commission race, but there were two. So, and primaries normally act as a vetting opportunity to have these discussions between the two candidates. But there wasn't one in a commission race like this.
No, in fact.
And I bet you a dollar, I'll bet you a dollar if there had been, Melissa would not have won.
More than likely not, but the other candidate was not even allowed to submit their application.
Yeah, for the endorsement from of the Clackamas County Democratic Party.
Yes.
Which is a county Democratic Party has a certain amount of influence with voters.
We wanted a primary.
Absolutely, right.
And we deserve to have a primary. Anyway, right. So you were, we'll get off of that. I appreciate
your but you know, I'll say this about this. I'll say this. It's... when you read the details of the allegations against Melissa, it's really kind of sad. It's just because I remember working with her or interacting with her during the Lake Oswego City Council race that she ran a couple years previous. Mm-hmm. And I felt like she was in it for the right reasons. She wanted to serve, you know, and that may have been her motivation here with this. But boy, she just, I mean.
From the things I've read.
What I've heard about the allegations, they're pretty, that's unscrupulous.
This is nothing against her, right? Because I promoted her during that Lake Oswego campaign because I did not know her very well. But watching her, her words are words.
Mm.
And as from what I observed, words only. And that was the reason why I did not want to vote for her. And I didn't vote for her. But I am saddened to see, because this is the third strike for the Clackamas Dems.
Mm-hmm.
Sonia ended up getting voted out.
Sonia Fisher.
Yeah. The other woman from 2022 ended up losing that race. And then now what happened with Melissa.
Right.
Right. So I think there's some changes that need to be made.
Well, I'll say this, you know, the fight continues. It took them, I remember supporting a fellow that was running against Sherry Hall when she was the county clerk. And she, everybody thought, and this was like in the teens, 2010, 2012.
Right.
She was this, the county clerk of Clackamas County had been there for like, you know, 20 years. She'd won six consecutive elections, you know. Everybody hated her, but everybody continued to vote for her. And, you know, and there were some great candidates that were running against her. And of course, the Democratic Party in Clackamas County supported many of her opponents because she tended to be a conservative, you know, Republican point of view in how she did work in government. So... it took a little while, but we finally got a good one in there now.
Yeah.
And her name escapes me off the top of my head, the new county clerk.
Yeah, I don't
remember.
But
I'll think of it here in a minute.
Either.
But the point is that Scholl was, the pendulum always swings in politics.
Right.
And, you know, the pendulum swaying in Clackamas County now, and I venture to say they're not going to vote in another Scholl.
You know, they're wanting to. And well, what the commission is the one choosing the interim until the next election. Uh-huh. And the, on the good side to the Clackamas Dems, they got, well, I would say Craig very much on his own record got himself elected.
Sure.
But the Clackamas Dems helped.
Sure.
Right, get him, and they got Tootie Smith out of office.
That is true. That is
true. And that needed to happen. So kudos to the Clackamas Dems for that.
Absolutely.
And so one out of two. I mean, it's fine. And then
well, yeah, no kidding.
Maria
take your
there still
the worst. You know, pick your worst: Tootie Smith or Scholl or both.
Both.
You know, and that was certainly the objective.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how people could live with voting for Melissa. You know, because they just wanted to replace him.
Right.
You know. And not really looking at the other candidates like Ray as strongly.
Who works within the community? Who does fundraising? Who actively supports efforts in the community to feed the homeless, to help children who are underserved, to do all of these different things that she actively does in the community, and she completely got looked over.
Well, I venture to say that, you know, she has a track record now.
Yes.
And it's established. Her name recognition has certainly gone up. And there will be opportunity for Ray if she continues to stick around.
Yes, I think she will.
It's kind of like what's happening now with that opponent in, what's his name, Nick Polson. I'm giving an example of a state race that was a state house race.
Poblin,
yeah.
Yeah.
He lost the first time, established a base. He's going for a second time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's all about building up your reputation and building up your name recognition with voters. I've had people coming up to me and say, hey, you were the one for running for city council.
Name recognition went up.
Agreed. Exactly. Yeah. That's my point. You know, so it doesn't hurt. And the key is do you leverage it and stay in politics, or try to get to that, you know, hill on the mountaintop or not?
Right.
And, you know, there's a couple people out there in Clackamas County that could easily be appointed that have the wherewithal to be able to hit the ground running.
Yes.
Ken Humbertson, Charles Gallia, yeah. You got Ray Gordon. You've got, I think there's a couple of them.
But there's quite a few, and if Sonia were to come back, we'd have her. Sonia was great.
Yeah, Sonia was great. Sonia Fisher.
Yeah. Sonia Fisher. So
we're talking Clackamas County, but before
that's
we go,
why any, I want to go back to Portland.
And before we do that, let me just tell everybody, my name is Moses Ross. You are listening to PDX Progressive Talk Radio on KBOO FM, and I am here with Sherry Morish. And we are talking all things politics, both national, regional, local. But more importantly, the most important line is in our show's name is Talk Radio.
Yeah.
And the idea that we want to hear from you, our listeners, and you're very welcome to call in and give us your opinions on some of the things that we've been talking about, or if you want to riff off on another topic that is near and dear to your heart, you're welcome to. The phone number to call into is 503-231-8187. Once again, that's 503-231-8187. And you're very welcome. We'll put you on the call on the show live, and you can share with the world your opinion on something. That's a beauty. I'll be the first to admit, as someone that does radio, that's the kick to doing radio, is that you can be live. Like, for instance, right now I've got Josh on live with me. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hi there. And I'm standing in there. How are you folks?
Fantastic. I got your name correct, yes?
Yeah.
Fantastic. What's on your mind?
Yeah. I get kind of frustrated with not with you folks personally. I think you're great, your show is great, but I'm just frustrated with, it seems like KBOO's really, and this isn't just KBOO, this is like everyone and everything, and our whole culture has just really lost wisdom of our political, of our radical, social justice-oriented political elders in talking about what true political power actually requires and how to get it and how we lose it and why. And my understanding is that it really comes from economic power. So when people are not having to scramble all the time, you know, when they have free time, when they have leisure time, then they have the ability to be politically organized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
I mean, that was what happened in the 60s and 70s, and that was what effectively put an end to it with, you know, Nixon and Reagan and everything since then and the economic policies. The reason why that was such a golden era for the working and middle class, why the middle class was expanding faster than the upper class at that point, why people were politically active, why we had universities, why all of it, is because people had lots and lots of free time. They could afford the privilege of getting involved, of running for public office, of community organizing, of getting out the vote, of not just getting out the vote, right? That's the end result. That's
sure.
That's the very, very last thing, is actually voting. Everything else is having a movement, having a culture, having not just sit-ins and protests and rallies. You know, it's getting together and educating people, sharing what we learn through our research and our experience about, you know, people, I don't know, they find out, you know, they go undercover and they find out about a backroom deal between city council that's, you know, turns out is sponsored by Chevron or Exxon or Philip Morris or Big Sugar, or that the real estate industry is in bed with the energy and fossil fuel industry, which it has been for over 100 years. The real estate and construction industry, you know, that people have the time to understand the root causes of power. And I just hear propaganda after propaganda after propaganda from not only the right, not only the center, but you know, all sorts of show. You know, NPR is running very neoliberal propaganda, talking about just all sorts of stuff that's utterly ludicrous to people who are actually, you know, well educated on these topics, and that would require me some time to go into and talk specifics about. But right. You know, they're heavily promoting, they ran a show the other day promoting AI, all this multi-billionaire Korean Japanese billionaire Masa was meeting with Donald Trump, but they were spent this whole hour talking about how great the future of general hyper-intelligent or super-intelligent AI is, and they're building this project called Stargate, and they're building all these AI, or they're going to build all these AI data centers all across the U.S., and this has been in the works for a while, you know, or focusing on Trump, and it's like Trump's a distraction.
Right.
He had 16 billionaires standing on stage at his, in his inauguration behind him. He's just a mouthpiece, sure. You know? They've been working on this since time immemorial.
Right.
For generations. As blowback to the 1960s, you know?
Absolutely.
Hartman.
You know, one thing that really strikes me with what we're talking about is the importance of ignorance within the masses. It's like the frogs in the boiling water approach.
Right.
You know, you just don't realize that you're being overwhelmed until it's too late. And yeah. they rely on that ignorance.
Right. And manufactured, you know, really having a political education about their playbook. You know, the role of the CIA, how they're you know, I think the CIA and has done a very good job with Hollywood and public radio and everything else of well, in the last decade they've really rebranded themselves and come out of the woodwork and really changed everything, you know, publicly. You know, they've been openly recruiting BIPOC and all of that and everything. I mean, of course, who they are internally hasn't changed,
right?
But they've changed their public image.
Kind of like the armed forces, you know, with the new cool commercials.
Right. And, you know, and so through all these things, you know, they've made it seem very rarefied to, ooh, the CIA, you know, all this melodrama. And so as a consequence of decades and decades of propaganda about how rarefied and exceptional and spooky the CIA and FBI and so on is, if you try to talk to them about any of that stuff happening in real life, today, you know, people roll their eyes at you and tell you how corny that is. And it's like, no, this is real. They're all, you know, they're serving the interests of the billionaires. That's mm-hmm. their job.
You know, it was interesting. We were talking earlier about how the most recent election we lost, the Democratic Party lost the vote of young men under the age of 25, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. and some of the reasoning there that I started thinking about it, and their attention span is based off of TikTok, you know, and social media, and the amount of time that you have to educate them has been now reduced to 15 seconds.
And that's not just them. That's
most of them. Correct. And so therein lies the rub. Therein lies the challenge of our society right now. You know, especially with the Republicans fully cognizant of that. When I say the Republicans, I mean the billionaires and the people that the oligarchy that's taking care of things right now in our White House. You know, they're relying on this ignorance.
Hillary Clinton said at one point, this was like a decade or so ago. She said, "quote I wish we could just drone Julian Assange."
Yeah, that was 10 years ago. I think Nixon also said we should just, you know, bomb those damn Cambodians. You know, it's the same sort of power abuse.
I don't want us thinking that the Democrats are our friend, because they're not. And when I say the Democrats, it's a good cop, bad cop.
No, I feel you on that. I feel you. It is a good cop, bad cop when it comes to those upper levels of actual deciding policy. I tend to be... I'm really involved in the county party, and I see mm-hmm. activists that have high ideals that act on them, and I see it literally every day, you know. And I've always felt that it's been kind of it's a cumulative effect. Yeah, we might, you know, this might be a resolution that, you know, on the surface, you know, just instructs our senator to, you know, take a position on Gaza, but. On one hand, but on the other hand, it's also, if we can educate one or two people along the way and influence one or two people along the way, others along the way, then we're doing just as much of that work as just as important as that resolution or that advocacy to the senator. So I think the challenge, in my view, the challenge is when you start to get into the state level and when you start to get into the national level, one of these parties, that's where the real power and influence happens, and they can actually do something with it. But I think all locally, I've always been really impressed with, you know, the intention of the folk at those levels.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and to some extent, I think that's true. I wish I could share your optimism.
Yeah.
I think it's really important. I want to push back a bit about what you're saying about educating one or two folks, because I feel like that I think all of us need to be thinking really globally about power streams and supply chains, not just in terms of physical materials like cars and oil and agriculture, you know, so-called agriculture, but in terms of information, data, propaganda, borders, and not just with regard to immigration, but with regard to isolating populations within the borders of each country. You know, the banning of TikTok, for example, and other sources means, well, now we're not getting counter propaganda, which is equally bad, right? But it's at least it's a different narrative, right? The narrative that people put out in China is very different than the narrative. I mean, you know, you can argue it either way, but I'm just saying, like this is the impact of tightening, one of the impacts of tightening borders and censorship and building up international games of good cop, bad cop, because I think that's also what it is. I think the billionaires are just pretending through their political puppets that, you know, oh, China and Russia and the U.S. are all at war. No, I think it's the same thing as the Dems and the Republicans domestically. It's just more good cop, you know, it's an excuse to distract people with another perceived enemy.
Now, that, you know, I'll agree with you on how you just framed that. I agree with you on that. You know, the framing of it as another perceived enemy to distract. I mean, because those same billionaires are doing business in China. The same ones are doing business in Russia. You know, and the bigger point is that they don't want you to dig too deep to recognize, you know, the face behind the mirror. You know, their financial interests in the whole game. You know, so because it's like with what's been going on here in the last 24 hours with that military strike that was done by Signal app. You know, it's like all of a sudden the mirror moved and we had a glimpse into how these incompetent people are taking care of business, our national security. They're doing it on an unsecured app, for God's sakes.
I mean, I don't think it's incompetent at all. I think it was a very cleverly choreographed public distraction.
Wow.
Okay.
No, I'm not discrediting you. I would not put anything past what's going on with as far as distraction, and I know that Trump is a master at distraction, and that regime is. So to hear you say that's a distraction, that just kind of blew my mind. Sorry.
Oh yeah,
because you're right. Well, maybe that's making me think a little bit here. What are they distracting us from? Fuck, that's huge. Pardon my French, but that was huge. I mean, you know, that's a pretty big deal. What's going on with that, with our national security there on that Cigna app? That's that app. That situation.
There, Biden. You know, there's a couple things that on this end that I want to get at, and that was when Russia first was talking about invading Ukraine. I just heard this one little byline on NPR about how, and this was when Biden was in office, about how the CIA was talking on the back channels with their counterparts, the Russian FSB, about, you know, the regional stability and international relations.
You know, it kind of makes me wonder. I nowadays, nothing with the Trump regime, nothing would surprise me anymore. I swear to God. I mean, I could see them using this as, I'm still wowing over the distraction. I'm trying to bring my brain back together from that, because you're right. You know, there's a lot of other things going on in this world that are more important than the use of an app. Mm-hmm. I'll have to ponder that one, sir. I appreciate your time and I appreciate your perspective. And
yeah.
Thank you for calling in. I better get to another caller, sir.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Okay, all the best. Sherry, that was a very insightful discussion there. That was, you know, it just kind of drove home the point to me that the distractions, I mean, I think our local government should learn a little bit from this. They should distract us from the fact that we don't have sidewalks, or distract us from the fact that our tax base has gotten reduced.
Half of the roads are going to wreck our tires.
Right. We should live and learn from the Trump administration. Follow their strategy. Jeez Louise.
Right.
I'm being facetious, everybody. Please.
You know, people, if you aren't near a phone or you have your phone and you are on Instagram, you can go on over to our Instagram channel. Mm. It's at PDX Prog TR. So PDX PROG TR as in talk radio, and message us. And I have those on my phone. And you can call us here at 503-231-8187. It's PDX Progressive Talk Radio with Moses Ross as the host. My name is Sherry Morish, and we are having a super interesting discussion. Tell me more about what's happening on the Portland City Council. You pay more attention to that.
Well, they're trying to figure things out. See, what, because they're now a legislative body versus an administrative body. It used to be the city council was administrative. They had administered the bureaus. The individual commissioners administered the individual bureaus. Now it's a legislative body. So topics, policy is established at the committee level.
Wow.
So like the judicial, there's like in, for example, on the state, on the national level, there's the judicial committees. There's the budget and finance committees. Same thing going on here. Well, what they're trying, one of these committees is the land use and housing committee, and the idea that they're trying to one of the more progressive commissioners or counselors, Angelita Murillo, has proposed legislation that would ban landlords from using algorithmic pricing AI to determine the rents. I kind of have to agree with her on this one now, but. Well, no, not kind of. I do agree with her on this one, because they artificially sets up this ladder, ascending ladder of pricing for rents, not looking at the actual, you know, the realistic market rates is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
And so.
But it's supposed to do that, and it really doesn't. It inflates everything.
Mm-hmm. And there's examples of that, too.
Yeah.
And not just in Portland,
like
but 300%. In many other cities. Yeah, in different cities as well. So I see why she's gotten out in front of this. And the Politico in me is really has to tip my hat to her, to Commissioner Murillo. Now, this is the second time that she has taken a public stance on issues that would not necessarily. Are not necessarily popular. She's forcing the issue. She's getting her name out into the news. Like the last time she criticized Congresswoman Janelle Bynum and her vote on the Laken Riley Act, which put stricter restrictions on immigrants, people coming into the United States.
Right.
And she made a big public proclamation about how inappropriate that was.
That was. Yes, I agree.
And I kind of had, I gave her credit for, you know, taking that kind of a principled stance. Now, if I understand why Janelle Bynum took that position, because she's in a district that is 50-50 Democratic Republican. And so she, you know, she's unfortunately having to waffle, or not necessarily waffle, but walk the line.
But I'm a constituent of hers, and I'm not very happy with that vote at all.
Well, there was a time when politicians could take unpopular positions and still be popular politicians.
Until recently, I was part of her party.
Yeah.
Right?
Have you decided to pop out of the Democrat?
I left the Democrat Party. I am a progressive now. Oh. I am a registered progressive.
Did you really? Good for you. Well, you know, and you know my background with the Progressive Party, and, you know, I've got nothing but respect for them. You know, and the way that the elections are set up here in Oregon means that you're not going to be able to vote in primary elections, unfortunately.
I know. No, I can't. I can vote in general, but I can't vote in primary.
Right.
So when people in this town go, you didn't vote in the primary, what's wrong with you? I'm sorry, I can't make the Progressive Party a national top tier party, and we can vote.
Right, right. Well, that's, and therein lies the challenge, the ongoing challenge of the Progressive Party and of the People's Party and these, yeah, these third, what do they call them, third class, or there's a term for it, first level. The Progressive Party was one of those parties, the Independent Party of Oregon, that's the one I'm thinking
Roosevelt
of.
Roosevelt, yeah, was the head of the Progressive Party when he became president in 1912.
Wow. Well, that makes sense.
And
I see.
I do not see why that party is not further up on the food chain.
Because, well, we're a duopoly.
A duopoly, yes.
And you know, three is more fun. Sherry. Oh my goodness!
Oh, that's hilarious. I had to. That was just wide open right there.
You had it teed up. You had to hit that out. You had to hit that down the fairway.
So no, Janelle Bynum, I think, made a horrible mistake with that vote. But mm-hmm. You know, that is today. So what else is Angelina and the group over?
So okay, so doing? Yeah. So what they, so this ordinance would, you know, prevent that, and of course, the opposition to it is the standard opposition business interests in the city of Portland. You know, the Chamber of Commerce, the, you know, all these business associations, they're all against it, you know, representing the renter, the realtors and the renters, the landlords, saying that it's going to, you know, take away their ability to, you know, set pricing based on blah, blah, blah. Point right. Is, it's been kind of exciting, though, to see her take advantage of to use the system how it's supposed to be used, vetting it policy through the committees, getting it, and then bringing it up for a vote at the main council. There's been some opposition to this. The district, one of the councilors in my district, Eric Zimmerman, tends to be very pro-business. He's worked at the county forever. He knows everybody. He was one of the votes. Him and Dan Ryan were the against it in the five-person wow. committee.
Yeah.
So Angelita got a vote from her her vote. I think Candace Avalos was on the committee, and somebody else that they got. So 3 out of 2 pushed up to the main vote to the main council for a vote.
Right on.
And it'll probably be one of the first votes that they'll take to establish policy, a new policy as a council.
I hope it passes. We've needed rent control in Portland for a long time.
You know, at this point in the game, we've got to do something. And I think that mm-hmm. this is one thing. I don't know how much of an impact having this. I don't know how many landlords actually use it.
Right.
I imagine the larger companies like the Bluestone and Hockleys and those
the
larger
venture capitalists.
Yeah,
people.
Those apartment management firms, and I know that they own a lot of property around here. Right. I know, you know, I've been very fortunate over the last 20 years. I've rented from you know, the same person that owns the property.
Right.
But you know, those property management companies out
yes.
there. You know, I've heard some horror stories.
Yeah, they're owned by venture capital. We are 12 minutes from the end of the show. If you are wanting to comment, please do so. As Moses says, this is talk radio. PDX Progressive Talk Radio, call us at 503-231-8187 with your comments and questions. You can talk about the Portland City Council or what's happening at the Oregon state level. Did you hear a bill was being passed to, it's on my Facebook, a bill was being passed to make either standard daylight savings time or standard time the time we go with, period.
Really?
Yeah.
I tell you, our caller that we had, he is talking about distractions. I think that the daylight savings time thing is one of those distractions.
It's not. It's needed. It's so needed. So many people Let's see. Oh, Oregon Senate passes bill for permanent standard time or possibly permanent daylight savings time. They passed a bill for it.
Wow.
So I need to read the article to get back into it, but I did post it on our Facebook page if you want to go look at it.
You know, there's also some interesting, you know, the good old Willamette Week is talking about how there's a new attempt to promote a alcohol tax. 2% alcohol tax on booze, on beer and wine, basically. And that's it, getting pushback, of course, from the brewers and pushback from the entertainment, the entertainment industry. I've never been a fan of sin taxes. It seems like like lottery and alcohol and cigarettes, that sort of thing. It's taxing them, but then I see why people do it, and I see why it's become a reliable source of income for governments to just, you know, might as well. I mean, these people are going to be dead anyway here because they smoke too much. Better hurry up and tax them. They drink too much. Better hurry up and tax them while you can. Now, so why not? You know, I got another topic for you. I drove by it on the way over here. The proposal to get state money up to, I think it was like $80 million from the state of Oregon to help them build a Major League Baseball park there on the waterfront.
Yeah. Weren't you talking about that should be up at Lloyd Center?
I thought it was going to go up there at Lloyd Center, but they found a beautiful place to do it there. The old there was a shipyard down there below the right next to the tram and the bridge.
But I like Lloyd Center better. It's a more accessible. It's a more accessible location, and it already has plenty of restaurants and grocery and everything right there.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, I saw some of the pictures of the proposal, and the view from second base is going to be absolutely gorgeous. You'll be able to look out into the river and see Mount Hood in the background, and it's I can imagine a summer day watching a Major League Baseball game on the waterfront. My 20-year-old self would really enjoy that. Holy smokes. I do miss baseball here in Portland. I've been here long enough where I remember the Portland Beavers. Looks like we have a caller that has called in. Ted, how are you tonight?
I'm fine. I'm interested in this daylight saving time thing, and we definitely need to go on to one time. But why in the world would we go on daylight saving time? Do people really realize it does not save daylight? Let's go on standard time. The sun will on average be high at noon. There'll be plenty of light in the day and the night. It's crazy to go on daylight saving time. In the winter, it'll be too dark in the morning for kids. We need standard time. Let's go with standard time year round. It's the only sensible choice.
It is sensible. That's the right word. It's just sensible choice. I do know as a single dad, I was taking my kid to school in the dark. At 7:30 in the morning, and that was disconcerting.
Yeah, it's going to be worse. To have daylight saving time in December, it's going to be dark in the morning. That's crazy. We need standard time year-round. Whoever came up with this nonsense, it does not save daylight. There's no way to save daylight by changing the clock.
Isn't that funny? They framed the issue well, didn't they? They framed it well.
Exactly. That is exactly.
So that people are focused on the savings of daylight.
Yeah. It was really, I think it became popular as a way to sell barbecues. The idea is to have more light at night in the summertime so you can party and buy a barbecue. But we don't need that. Let's stop working, take another day off. We don't need to work so much.
I agree.
Go to the 4-day work week and go to standard time, please.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in with your opinion. I appreciate that. We have about 2 minutes left on the show, and I just want to say thank you very much, Sherry, for all of the work that you do to help me get this out, to help us put out PDX Progressive Talk Radio out to the masses, to the city of Portland. You are always welcome to check us out on the web, on Instagram. Sherry maintains a Facebook page, and we always like to hear from you. And it's like I said before in the show, you know, the most important thing, we're also on TikTok.
We have 3,384 followers on TikTok.
Wow. Sherry's saying that we have 3,300 followers on TikTok. That's kind of impressive, actually. I didn't realize that. Now, you could be 3501, so if you just have to run over to TikTok and give us a follow, that never hurts. We're going to be showing up here again next, the fourth Wednesday of the month at 7 o'clock in the evening. And you're always welcome to check us out on the KBOO website page. We have a page there at KBOO. And once again, my name is Moses Ross. You've been listening to PDX Progressive Talk Radio here in Portland, Oregon. Thank you very much.
Oh, come on. Why is it not going?
Oh,
come on.
It's got to queue up before you push.
Well, it was.
Okay, now.
It was queued up. It's just not going. I knew it.
We'll be right back. KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM. Listen sponsored. Now become a member now. Become a member not only because...